Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading Transparent Eyelids. This is from a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights, written by Tobias Wade. I really hope you enjoy this story. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. And links will be in the description to this book if you'd like to pick yourself up a copy. But anyways, let's get started. I come to you as one who has lived through hell. Maybe not literally, but then again, maybe so. For I saw the flames closing in around me and felt their heat consume my flesh. I was trapped in the building with six others when the inferno descended upon us. I can't think without hearing their screams or move without my seared and broken skin exploding into a thousand shards of anguish. I was the only one of my family to survive that horrible fire, burned and disfigured as I lay in the hospital. I couldn't have known then that I was only at the beginning of my torment. Worse than the experience itself, worse than the memories or the lingering pain, was the enduring curse of my burned eyelids, half melted away from when I cowered from those flames, only the thinnest layer of skin remains. I don't see darkness anymore when I close my eyes. I can still see through my transparent lids, a world of half-light and shadows that I can never hide from. I find myself too sensitive to the light to keep my eyes open much anymore, so I spend most of my time in this ghostly world of shade. Besides, I'm too afraid to open my eyes fully because I can see things with my eyes closed that I could never see when they were open. Ever since I was admitted to the hospital after my burns, I could see specters drifting across my vision. My doctor told me that these dark shapes were only the veins and eyelids, and that it was only my trauma and imagination that made them swirl across the room. I know that's not true, though, because I don't see them all the time. I only see the shadows moving when someone is about to die. It isn't that uncommon in the hospital. My attending nurse, Mrs. Jacobs, tried to make me walk as much as I could during my rehabilitation, and I'd often feel my way along the halls, with my eyes closed as I tried to get my body moving. The shadows weren't everywhere, but they clustered thickly around certain rooms, and it didn't take long before I made the connection. "They're going to take her son," I told Mrs. Jacobs as she accompanied me. We were passing by the room of an elderly woman that was thick with the shades. "Come on, don't stop here," Mrs. Jacobs said. "There's nobody here but us." "I can see them," I'd tell her. "They're anxious. Maybe hungry. They can't wait for her to die." The nurse would always try to reassure me or change the subject, but they couldn't hide from me that I was right. That same night, the woman was dead, and by the next morning, the shadows were gone from around her room. "This one only has a few days left," I said of another patient. "There are only a few shades here, and I can see them stretched out on the floor. They're settling in wait." There would be more of them every time I passed the room after that. And as the time grew closer for the death, they clustered more tightly around the patient, swaying back and forth, almost dancing in anticipation. The doctor threatened to have me transferred to the psych ward if I didn't stop talking about the shades. Mrs. Jacobs, who spent more time with me, knew better, though, because she knew how accurate I was in my predictions. Without reading the charts or even meeting the patients, I could predict when someone was going to die better than any of the medical staff could. I knew Mrs. Jacobs started taking me seriously when I saw her begin to cross herself and pray before she joined me for my walk. She must have thought I didn't see because my eyes were closed, but I could tell how her shadow trembled just to be near me. I thought I was being helpful, though, and I didn't let that stop me from pointing out the dancing shades whenever another death was near. "Only the devil would know that," she replied after one of my predictions. "I'm not the devil. I just have his eyes," I told her. Mrs. Jacobs didn't come for me the next day. I was told she requested to be transferred to a different wing of the hospital. She must have warned the new nurse about me, though, because she was hostile and distrustful towards me from the start. As soon as I pointed out the shades to her, she snapped at me immediately. "Maybe you're to blame then. How else would you know?" I told her I was only trying to help, but she left in a huff halfway through my walk, and I had to find my way back to my room on my own. It was scary navigating those halls on my own, with the shades all around, and it seemed like some of them were turning to watch me pass. That was the first time I got the sense that they were aware of me at all. Then it seemed like they were following me, more all the time as they floated away from their vigils by the other rooms to cluster around my door. Mrs. Jacobs came by again to check on me, even though I don't think it was part of her official duties. I told her that I thought I was going to die soon and that I was afraid. She kept insisting that I was as healthy as I was ever going to be, though, and seemed intent on getting rid of me. I heard her arguing with the doctor and the other nurse. Then she came back and told me it was time for me to go. I didn't know how I was going to take care of myself, and I didn't want to leave at first. I was scared about all the shades beginning to gather around me, though, and I was tired of being in a place where so many of them converged. I pretended that I was going to do better than I really was, and after signing a few papers, I let Mrs. Jacobs help me into a wheelchair and roll me out the front door. "You do believe I'm telling the truth, don't you?" I asked her as we went. "I believe," is all she replied. "You don't think I'm lying?" "I believe, but I don't want to hear more. Whatever you see, keep it to yourself." I wish she hadn't said that, especially once outside, feeling the cool wind burning against my fragile skin. "I have to tell someone," I told her. "Someone else then. God bless and goodbye," is the last thing Mrs. Jacobs said to me. If she'd stayed longer, I could have told her about the shades I saw outside, the thousands of them floating across the winter sky over the city, stretching from one end of the horizon to the other. I would have told her how they danced in the air, with great spiraled nebula of them like a slow-motion hurricane drifting over the towers downtown. I would have told her, but now it's too late, so I have to tell someone else. Not because I think it can be stopped, but because I am alone, because it hurts to cry, and because I'm afraid of what I see through my transparent eyelids. I hope you enjoyed this little story. If you did, let me know. Like the video, subscribe, like the episode, wherever you are. But I appreciate you for listening. If you'd like to support the channel more than, you know, commenting and stuff like that, well, there is a Patreon, and I would really appreciate it if you'd consider it. Don't do it necessarily if you can't, but just think about it for a hot second. Well, I would just appreciate you for listening too, and I thank you for choosing this story to listen to when I know that you have so many other choices to make. If you'd like to come hang out in our Discord, well, that'd be great too. It's pretty chill. And if you'd like to send me your story, you can do so at storiesaftermidnight.com. But anyway, I appreciate you for being here. Thank you for listening. I hope I will see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.